Hey, thanks for checking out this message from LifeGate Church. We hope that God uses this message to encourage you and to help you live in the freedom and purpose that Jesus has for your life.
To be in school. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Good Friday. And as we come to your word now, we pray you speak to us. Give us ears and hearts to hear from you. Use this message, God. Transform us. Make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, Good Friday is one of the most significant days in the Christian calendar. You can't go past Good Friday, and I think the most significant is Easter Sunday, because without Easter Sunday, there's no life. This weekend is such an important weekend. It's so significant. What Jesus did on the cross for us is such a significant event. It was one event at one time, but it has affected all of history. Those who were before Jesus, who had faith, are forgiven by Jesus' future death. For us, who are living 2,000 years past the cross, are forgiven by Jesus' past death. It was that one act that radically changed all of history. It has given us a way to have relationship with God. It's given us a way to have forgiveness of sin. Jesus has made a way for us to be justified in God's sight, which simply means God sees us just like I've never sinned. He gives us a new identity. It was an event that happened once in time, and it is the event that we all look to before and after as the moment in time where people can be forgiven of their sin. As I was thinking about this concept of things that happen once or only once in time, it got me thinking about the things of our day-to-day lives. In our family, we have a tradition, and it's the Monday of every life group week. And the reason it's Monday week, the life group week, is we have people coming to our home. At 3:30 on the Monday afternoon, between 3:30 and 5:30, we all get involved and we clean the house together. Let me tell you, it's the time of the week my kids look forward to the most. Joel, what do you think about that? Joel's like, we put everything away. We do the dishwasher. We do the sheets, the towels, the dusting, the bathroom. Everything gets done 2 hours a once over. And afterwards, I look back at the house and go, oh, that is so wonderful to have a clean house. Who thinks it's wonderful to have a clean house? Who relaxes after their house is clean? Now the problem with a clean house, it only lasts for, yeah. And then you're like, oh, can you please vacuum? Can you please put that away? And then Monday, again, we are back cleaning the house again. You know, I reckon there's some things in life that we would like to do once, and that was it. And I think house cleaning, if we cleaned our house once, I reckon that would be the best. How about going to the gym? Jackson, can you please stand up for a moment? Jackson, please stand up. Look at this. I saw it. Can Jackson come up here? I saw this specimen. Take it up on the stage as a worship leader. And if I could go to the gym once and look like, sit down now, well done. And if I could look like him, who would want to go to the gym once and want to look like that?
Come on.
Come on, yeah. Everyone would want, unless you're a lady, you might not want to look like that. But imagine going to the gym once and having the feelings of all those chemicals running through your body and being buff like Jackson. That would be pretty awesome. Another thing I thought that we could only do once would be brush your teeth. Imagine in life you could. Brush your teeth. I haven't got a mirror. You're the mirror. And, oh, thank you. Now imagine if you could brush your teeth once and you never have to brush them again, and you have that teeth shiny, sparkly feel in your mouth and that whatever that taste is. Imagine only once. How about another one? What if you could take medication? You know, some people take medication every day. Imagine if you could take medication once and never, ever again. Imagine if you could, imagine if you only have to see your mother-in-law once. Turn to the person next to you and answer this question. Take 30 seconds, then we'll hear your answers. Alrighty, what do you got? What are your answers? Only once. Pay taxes. Pay taxes only once. Go to the toilet only once. Go to school only once. And you'll learn everything. What do you say? A uni assessment. Do one uni assessment and it's done forever. Up the back, there's a hand. Sleep. Only once. Up in the back, Dave. Mow the grass. That's good. That's why we have artificial grass. Tony. Tell your kids to do something only once. That might be the best one. Anybody else? Put fuel in your car. That would save some money. That's a good one too. Now, on the other side of this, there's some things I would like to do more than once, like eating food, like intimacy with my wife, hang out with friends, watching sport. Sorry, wife. Watching sport. How about going fishing more than once? What else would you want to do more than once?
Go to church.
Go to church. That's my son, everybody. Anyone else? Anybody else? Anybody? Get to sing more than once. Yeah, really great. Go on holidays more than once.
Go shoe shopping.
Shoe shopping more than once. Bag shopping. Any more than once?
21st birthday.
A 21st birthday. Do you really want to go back and do that again? Who wants to go back and do 21 again? You really do? I don't think so. I don't want to do that again. Now, the reason we're talking about this is because there is a big contrast that happens that we see in the Bible. In the Old Testament, God said for your sin to be dealt with, you had to sacrifice sheep and goats and doves and bulls more than once. Actually, every day. Whenever you sin, you had to bring another offering to the Lord. You bring it to the priest. You place your hand upon it as if you are transferring your sin onto that sheep. Then they would take it and they would kill it and they'd cut it up. They'd sprinkle the blood. And it was a way of covering over sin. Now imagine doing that for a whole nation. And everyone would come to the temple or the tent of meeting, depending on the part of history that they were in. And they would sacrifice day after day after day. Contrast that with what Jesus did. Jesus, when he went to that cross, he died once for all sin. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished," or "It is complete." There is no more sacrificial system of sacrificing day after day. Jesus is the one sacrifice for all sin, for all time. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins," who's the priest here? Jesus. Jesus is described in Hebrews as the great high priest. And in verse 12, when Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. in Christ, if you are in Christ this morning, through his one sacrifice, his perfect sacrifice, once for you. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You are perfect forever because of Christ and what he's done. That doesn't mean you get it wrong, because the next bit says you are being made holy. But because of Christ, God sees you as if you are perfect. You are justified, just if, just like you've never sinned. That's how God sees you in Christ. It is remarkable. It is wonderful. Then when we talk about sin, we're simply talking about missing the mark. Greek word in Ephesians chapter 1 is the word hamartia, which means to miss the mark. And miss the mark means God has a standard, and sometimes we deliberately do things that are against God's standard. That's sin. And sometimes we don't do the things that we should do. And that's also sin. And because of that, the Bible says, because of our sin, our relationship with God is broken. And what we deserve for our sin is death, eternal death, separated from God forever. But there is the gospel, or the good news, is that God loved us so much, he didn't want us to stay in that place. He sent Jesus to die on that cross so that our sin can be forgiven, that the death sentence that is on our life can be paid for. Jesus' death was once for all time for everyone who believes in him. I want to give you three things today as we come to the end of this message. I want to give you three things about how that affects our lives. The first thing is this, that we have forgiveness. We have forgiveness. When people hurt us in life, the natural thing is for us to be angry. The natural thing is for us to be hurt by that. And God wants us to forgive others just as like he's forgiven us. And forgiveness is releasing people from the debt that they owe us. It's releasing them from my anger towards them. I'm no longer going to be angry with you. You no longer owe me for what you've done to me. The debt is cancelled. I am forgiven. That's how we forgive others, and it's the same with us and God. You know, God loves us and was so kind to us. He gave this beautiful world and the sun and the air and the food and the water and people and all these beautiful things. But when we sinned, when we did the things that we shouldn't do, when we didn't do the things that we should do, that hurt God. And not only did it hurt God, it made God angry with us. There's a number of times in the New Testament which talks about God's anger towards people due to their wrongdoing. And people hear God is angry. Well, how do you hold that with a God of love? Well, if you're a parent, you can love your kids but also be very angry with them. And if you're a kid, your parents can love you a whole heap, James, and be very angry with you at the same time. Do you know that? Yes. And in Jesus' death, God forgives us. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hi, Ellie. Oh, poor Ellie. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. The other part of this text talks about redemption. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption. Redemption means to be bought back. It's language you use around slavery. When someone's a slave, the way to free a slave is to pay a price to the owner, and that slave is freed. The Bible says that we are slaves to sin, and the only way for us to get out of it is for the price to be paid. And we couldn't pay it. And the blood of sheep and bulls covered sin but didn't remove it. Jesus, through his death, removes our sin. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. We have been bought back. We have been forgiven. all because of what Jesus has done for us. The second thing I want to bring you is we have relationship with God. The biblical word for this is atonement, and we're going to look at that word in a minute. Atonement, or at-one-ment, where God puts us and Him at one in relationship with God again. I started the first point by talking about relationships, and when people hurt us, God wants us to forgive others. But often in relationships, when there's a bust-up, we can choose to forgive, but do we continue that relationship with the person? You know, in my life, there's been many times where we've had bust-ups and I've had to say sorry to people. And if you hung out with me long enough, you would have experienced that, because I'm not perfect and I get it wrong and I need to apologize. But there's been other people in my world who I've upset and hurt, and we've apologized, but then there's been a separation of that relationship, and we haven't continued that relationship. But with God, when we come to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us, He restores our relationship with Him. He's our King, but He's also our brother. And He is close with us, and He's never going to leave us, nor is He going to forsake us, and He walks with us through life. And the relationship that was broken due to sin is restored, and we get to be with God forever. This is what it says in Romans chapter 3. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. In other words, everyone's all the same. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, or the standard of God. None of us have lived up to God's standard, verse 24. And are all, we'll go back again, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. There's a few words in that. We're going to look at justified in a minute. Grace is God's kindness to us. Redemption, there's that word about being bought back. And how did that happen? Through Jesus Christ. Verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement, or at-one-ment, through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. When Jesus died on that cross, He took us who were separate and brought us together with Him. Our relationship with God is restored. Now you can pray to Him. Now you can talk to Him. Now you can walk with Him. Now you can hear from Him. There is communion with God, and you can walk with Him through life. God has restored your relationship with Him. You know, sometimes we seek after people's approval, and we want someone to like us. So we work really hard and we do things to please them. So hopefully they will give us their attention. They will give us their attention, and they will think we're okay. And if they think we're okay, then we think we're okay. Doesn't work that way with God. We come through faith, and God says, "You're okay. You don't have to seek His approval, earn His approval. You have it because of Jesus." Last thing, third thing is this: through Jesus, you have a new identity. In this verse in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "You've fallen short of the glory of God. You are justified freely by His grace." The word justified simply means God sees you just if I've never sinned. Justified. When you come to Christ, He gives you a new identity. He doesn't see your wickedness and your failings and your brokenness. He says, "Wow, this person's in Christ." There was a moment this week where my wife was just so, so kind to me. So kind to me. And I just looked at her with this heart of love and joy and gushing. And I didn't see any of the other stuff in her life and the failings and the faults. I just looked at her in that moment and I went, "Man, I am a blessed man to be married to her." And let me say to you, that's how God sees you. In that moment of ooey, goo, goo, ga, la, la, "You are amazing, Michelle." That is how God sees you. And let me say, it didn't last very long. But in that moment, that's how God sees you. You don't need to do anything else to be accepted by God. You don't need to work and be good enough because you can't be. You can't be. When we come to Jesus, He gives us something that we can't earn. It's His grace. And when we're forgiven, He says, "You're all right. You're one of mine." And all this happens through this one word at the end of verse 25. To be received by, what's the word together? Say it together. To be received by
faith.
If you want to have Jesus, if you want to have His forgiveness, if you want to have a new identity, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to have your sin dealt with, if you want to have forgiveness, all you need to do is put your faith in Him. And it's about saying, "God, I'm going to trust You for forgiveness. I'm going to trust You as the Lord of my life." And that is how we receive it. There's nothing else to do other than receive it. And this is so countercultural to our world today. You know, in our schools we say, perform well at sport and you'll get selected in the team. Do well in your marks and you'll be able to become a lawyer, Luke. Do well, Jet, and you'll be able to become a doctor. Do well, Joel, and you'll be a gamer. Come on. And we reward performance throughout our lives. You speak well, we'll give you a platform. If you sing well, we'll give you an opportunity. If you achieve, we will give you. But that's the total opposite in God's kingdom. It's not about your achievement or how good you are. Rather, it's about how good He is and His achievement. That God sent His Son Jesus and He died for me and for you. And all we need to do is receive it. He's the winner. He's the one who succeeded. All we need to do is put our faith in Him. So as we come to the end of this message today, if you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. So with every head bowed and eye closed, thanks Donna. We're going to pray a prayer. Donna's going to play the keyboard for us. If you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus and you'd like to do that, pray this prayer after me. Father in heaven, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that He died for me and rose from the dead. God, I'm sorry for my wrongdoing. Please forgive me. I choose to follow Jesus all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven today. We have communion here. The biscuit reminds us of Jesus' body broken for us. The cup reminds us of His blood. Please come forward. Grab a piece of biscuit and cup. Take it back to your seat. Pray and reflect. Confess any sin. Thank Him for what He's done. And then we're going to sing. Please come forward.
Thanks so much for checking out this message. Lifegate Church has people meeting in person and online in many different locations, and we'd love to help you get connected. My name's Andrew and I lead our online team here at Lifegate Church, and it's our job to do exactly that. We'd love to help you find community, get support and prayer, and take your next step. So why don't you connect with us and take your next step at lifegate.org.au and click the next step button.